What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday, I guess. Yuck. Let's see. Jason Smith. That's my feeling exactly. Jason Smith's going to join us in the next segments to lift our spirits. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And otherwise, it's me and it's Jeffrey. And it may even be y'all. So that is that's the order of the day. You know, there are benefits to growing up a Bills fan. Not many, but there are some. Because what it does, it prepares you for bad things to happen. You not only you can handle it. Sort of. You know you'll get through it.
The sun will come up.
The sun will come up. There's always going to be another draft pick, another offseason of hope, another.
This time it's different.
But more than that, you anticipate it and you predict it and you expect it. And so the pain is a little diminished by the fact that you knew this was coming all along. Because you grew up a Bills fan. And I'm just going to tell you, I believe it was a month and a half ago when I started saying that the Grizzlies were going to be in the play-in. I started to, and we'd consult the numbers, and the numbers were, no. They've got an 87% chance to be in the playoffs. And I'd say, yeah, I don't see it. And then I got an 82% chance to be in the playoffs. And I'm like, yeah, no. And then they got a 74% chance to make the playoffs, not in the play-in. And I'm like, yeah, you don't know what's coming. You probably should start preparing yourself. And the numbers would go down and down and down and down and down and down. And gradually, they would align with what I knew was going to happen all along. And indeed told you. And the truth of the matter is, this is true. Heading into last night's game, which was a quote-unquote big game, massive game. I said yesterday I didn't have great expectations. And it's not just because I'm a Bills fan, although that's part of it. I see doom coming before anyone else. So did Chicken Little. Oh, no, that's also true. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen doom coming every game. I saw doom coming before the Bills played the Ravens in the playoffs this year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. And it doesn't, but it braces for the moments when it does come, you're better prepared. Right?
Correct.
So here we are. And I'll, even in my gloom, my predictions of catastrophe, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see him giving up a 52-point quarter.
I didn't
see him giving up 52 points in 12 minutes of basketball. Holy smokes.
It felt like it could have been more, too.
So I'm going to get to the quarter in a minute, but here's the problem. Let's conduct, Jeff. Let's check out the numbers today.
All right.
The numbers for the stats for the likelihood that, which I knew all along were 100%, the likelihood that they will be in the play-in as opposed to the playoffs. What do we got now?
Jeff, according to Basketball Reference, the Grizzlies have a 26.5% chance of being outside the play-in, so 1 through 6.
Of being in the playoffs. 26% correct. Chance. We're down to a
23.8% chance of being 7 and 49.8% chance of being 8.
Yeah, we're doing 60, 70, whatever percent chance of being in the plan. And I'm just because doom is what I see before anyone else, I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to finish 8th. They're going to play in Minnesota in the play-in game. They're going to lose that game. This is terrible. I shouldn't do this. But I'm bracing you. Then they're going to come home.
Then we're going to have the weird Sophie's choice of what to root for.
Sacramento or Dallas. And they're going to win that game. And then they're going to be swept by Oklahoma City and give up their draft pick. And then we'll go sailing into the offseason with a sweep on our hands.
The thing is, though, because I'm with you.
I mean, that is the most – isn't that the most – okay, let's break those things down, first of all.
All right.
The play-in is easily, you just said, the most likely.
Yeah, okay? I'm with you.
And because Minnesota has Brooklyn and Utah next, they're going to win those two games, right?
I would think.
Okay. And Memphis has Denver tonight.
Yeah.
Unlikely to win tonight, right? Unlikely. And so they will be passed by Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will then play at Minnesota. You with me so far, right? And given what we just saw, they'll probably lose that game, right?
I would think
more
so,
more likely than not, right? And so then the only place where my – so then there's the – then they'll play Dallas or Sacramento, and it'll be at home, and they'll probably win that game because those teams are sub-500 teams.
See, that's where I don't know.
That's the one. That's the weirdly enough, it's the hint of optimism sort of happening that you're objecting to.
Like
I don't know if they're going to – and then how about the sweet
Anthony
part?
If Anthony Davis plays – like if Dallas,
so much will depend on mindset. So then we go to the, and then let's say they do win that game. Are you with me on the sweep?
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess you could talk me into the old five game, the gentlemen's, but yes.
So really there's nothing that seems not completely inevitable, but it does seem incredibly likely as a likely scenario for how the rest of the season's going to go.
Yeah. I think the question though I have is like, okay, I'm with you. They go to Minnesota. They're going to get beat. They come back.
And by the way, is it clear to you that you root for them to win that game? What?
Is it clear to you in the battle for the 8 game that they win?
No. Not clear. No, and partly here, by the way, this is a little bit like I'm the guy who refused to bury Penny Hardaway for losing to Colorado State because they didn't have Tyrese Hunter.
Yeah.
Like, you have to deal with reality here. And the reality is they didn't have Tyrese Hunter, one of their three best players.
Or their backup point guard.
They were if this is going to sound familiar. Heading into the postseason, they suffered debilitating injuries at the same position, which thinned them out and made them utterly unprepared to deal with the rigors of the postseason. Let me give you now the Memphis Grizzlies. Same damn thing.
I'm with you, though.
But, like, the reason that I was feeling gloomy about last night and now feel gloomy going forward isn't that I think they suck or are bad people or anything else. It's that they don't have Brandon Clark and they don't have Jalen Wells. I mean, you still shouldn't give up 52 points in a quarter.
Yeah.
That's more than any team in the NBA has given up in any quarter.
Yes.
And, like, Charlotte plays in the NBA.
Correct.
So
the Wizards play in the NBA.
Yeah, more than any Utah plays in the NBA. Like, there's teams that are playing in the NBA that are a lot worse than you, and none of them gave up 52 points in a quarter. So there's more to it than that. But they'd feel like they're going into the I don't know if I should use these metaphors. We'll get fined. They're going into a gunfight,
mm-hmm.
not with a hand grenade, but with a spoon.
Yeah.
So So I do think, I hate to say this, I'm just kind of feeling kind of grim about this right now. But as for last night, first half, they wind up the first half, and they're up 5. Pretty damn good. Pretty electrifying, actually. 72-67. Ant, Ja going back and forth, spectacular shot after spectacular shot. Now, the Grizzlies were shooting 65%.
Yeah.
70% from 3. Ja was bombing in threes. He had all kinds
of 6 of 6.
Yeah, he had all kinds of ways to opportunities to unleash his celebration. And so you did wonder if this was sustainable. And it turns out it was not. A 17-3 run at the start of the second half. The second half that Minnesota put together is just gobsmacking. 52 points. Now, mind you, Grizzlies also gave up a 50-point quarter to the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
Not unprecedented.
Yeah.
They
validated it.
And Jalen Wells was available for that one, by the way. I don't know if Brandon Clark was. I've just never seen this stuff. Minnesota, 18 of 21.
Yeah.
18 of 21. 7 of 8 from 3. You literally, in warm-ups, no opposition. They don't necessarily go 18 of 21.
Yeah.
7 of 8 from 3, 9 of 10 from the line. It was just...
Well, I mean, in fairness, they probably would go 18 of 21 in warm-ups because those were the looks they were getting.
Yes. It was something. The putback dunk by Ant, like some of it was just disgraceful. A lot of it is, I mean, it was hard to watch this and think, wouldn't Marcus Smart and Jake LaRavia have come in handy? Like, that was it. The third quarter, that was it. They get blown out. Third quarter, game over. Boom, boom, boom. It was just disastrous. And obviously, there are a lot of things that went into us. Jaren getting the 2 fouls in the final 40 seconds of the first half.
Yeah.
Then Jaren.
Well, that was Stan Van Gundy's fault.
Right. Then Jaren and Edie pick up their 4th fouls. They sit. So that becomes a massive problem. And then you had this interesting dilemma of what you do in terms of playing your starters into the 4th quarter.
Yeah. Because you know you've got another one tonight. And as much as, yes, you're right, like vibes are not great. Like, this is a game that could flip the standings.
Oh, no. That's the thing. Yes, 100%. That is, I don't feel great about it because why would you? I mean,
I wonder what time they even got in. Because I was talking about it with Eric yesterday, and we thought, okay, game was going to end around 11. I think it actually ended a little bit later. There's no way they got to the airport before 1, probably, right?
It was on their itinerary, 4 a.m. is when they were supposed to have gotten in.
So
just like a minute ago.
Yeah.
Like just basically a minute ago. So here was what Isolo said about that. I don't envy the players' part in this situation. It seems unreasonable to expect top-level performance in, what do we have, less than 20 hours to start another game, a very, very important game, and we are the only team that's coming off a back-to-back. But that is the schedule. We cannot affect that. What we can do is try to finish everything here at FedEx Forum as fast as possible, get to the plane, get some rest in Denver, and then perform as well as we can. It's physical and mental. Again, I'm reading from Chris Harrington's piece at the Daily Memphian. It's physical and mental, but at the end of the day, it's two teams playing 48 minutes of basketball tomorrow, and whoever wants it more is going to win, and we've got to be that team. Is, by the way, the sentence, it seems unreasonable to expect top-level performance in, what do we have, less than 20 hours to start another game, a very, very important game, blah, blah, blah. Is that giving his players permission to stink? I don't see it as that.
Yeah,
it's just true.
I saw that as like a
statement of fact.
A matter of fact.
A statement of fact.
Yeah.
It was just a statement of fact is what it was. But yeah, so you got that game tonight, and he decided on this question of whether to go ahead and
rest
in the fourth quarter, whether to pull the plug or not. He talked about that too. And on that, he basically said, let's just see, I'll find this here again from Chris's column. Very tough decision, not an obvious one. We were right on the cusp all the time of like whether we were still had a chance to win or not.
Right.
And this is mindful that you've just seen Minnesota blow it against the Bucks. We were right on the cusp all the time, and that made it obviously very difficult all the way to the end. So that was a discussion at every timeout. It was a very tough decision, and unfortunately, it didn't pay off. No, it did not pay off.
I didn't have a problem with it. There were a couple of times where I think they cut it to like 10, and
they cut it to 10.
And they had an open three. Like, you, I don't know. Like, I'm with you that it's a, that's obviously a tough choice. But I also go back to like, does really sitting 8 minutes, how much does that really, how much is that going to save?
And which is more unlikely, that you can come back from 10 down in the final minutes against Minnesota, or that on a back-to-back with no sleep, you can beat Denver at home? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Even if you're starting there from zero. Right. So I don't criticize that part of it at all. Ja, 36 points. He was really good. Dez was great in the first half. Gave you nothing in the second half. 0-for-2 in that dreadful third quarter that the Grizzlies played. Jaren, 23 minutes. He, of course, had the foul trouble. Ant was sensational. Absolutely sensational. 44 points for him, all in the first three quarters. And then Randall, just like the Grizz bigs couldn't handle it. Like he'd take them out deep and bomb away.
Yep.
You know? And he gets 31. Five of 10 from three, I think, as he continually hunted that matchup and took advantage of it. And so there you have it. Things are looking a little grim for the Grizzlies. They do have a chance, and who the hell knows? It's a basketball game tonight. They can win tonight, and then you'll figure it out. There was the job. I just couldn't believe it was still an issue. I couldn't believe both on TNT. Maybe it's because they hadn't weighed in on it much because it was the game last night.
Yeah.
It was because their last whatever. Like, they were weighing in on it. And then we had Unsportsmanlike again this morning. Let's play a couple of Unsportsmanlike clips, and then I'll tell you what I think about that.
He's proven that he's committed to being a clown. And when you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I mean, shout out to the TNT guys, Charles Barkley, Kenny, and Shaq, because Chuck said when Ja did the celebration last night, he pulled the pin, threw the grenade, and blew up the Memphis Grizzlies season. That's what it feels like. I don't take the Memphis Grizzlies serious as a team that can contend in the playoffs, and we should because of the pieces that they have, because of how good they've been throughout the years, the program that Taylor Jenkins has built. You have all of the elements to be a good team, but you're not a good team. And it's in part because your best player has a maturity issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're asking me if it rubs me the wrong way. Yes, it does, but I'm not going to keep saying it because it's not going to make a difference. It doesn't matter. Everybody that's tried to get through the job to curb the behavior that we've seen on and off the court hasn't been able to do it. So at this point, if he don't care, I don't care.
Do you have the other clip? If not, it's no big deal. There were two.
I got both.
Yeah, here's the other one.
I mean, what are we doing here? This doesn't throw you guys off at all? Like, this is just so immature on so many levels from a young man that is so phenomenal at basketball, that has so much in front of him, and he literally is doing something he knows somebody's going to have a problem with. He knows it's going to be an issue. He knows it's going to take away from his brilliance on the basketball court. Until someone has a problem with it. David Stern, may he rest in peace, if he was still the commissioner of the NBA, would have suspended this man over and over and over again until he stopped doing this. And I think you can say what you want about David Stern. I think it would have been for his own good.
Listen, has Ja's immaturity, emotional reactions to things, whatever you want to describe, has that been a problem for the Grizzlies over the last 3 years? Massive problem. Indeed, I'd say the number one problem. Wouldn't you say?
Yep. Well, that is health.
And that is health.
His availability.
His availability. Yes. And it started with this other stuff. But this other stuff has been a real problem, too. It's not just his health. It's been undeniable. Undeniable. But when I hear, like, the notion that Ja is the reason they lost that, like, it's what it's doing is elevating some stupid talking point, because I guess that's what you need on a national sports talk radio show. And they didn't lose because they lost because they gave up 52 points in the third quarter. And no, they don't have everything you need to contend, Chris Canty. It's what happens when you don't know anything about the team you're watching. They don't have, they've got three very good players, and then their roster is otherwise freaking rookies and 10-day guys or guys who are elevated out of the G League. You look at the middle class of these two teams, like, that. Okay, they've got a star, and the Grizzlies have their stars, right?
Yep.
So whatever, we'll say, we'll give them, we'll put Ant and, who are we going to say their best players are? Gobert and whoever you, well, it's Randall's probably the most highly played last was night. Last night, okay? And so for that, we'll give you Dez, Jaren, and Ja, okay? But after that, they got Naz Reid, they got DiVincenzo, they got McDaniels, they got Alexander Walker. Like, they have this middle class of athletic veteran dudes who can play basketball, and the Grizzlies don't.
Honestly, my biggest...
The point is that the gun stuff had nothing to do with... It was in a total irrelevancy. But yeah. I guess that's what you have to talk about today. But it is had nothing to... Ja was really good last night. The celebration didn't cost them that game. What cost them that game is they can't play guard dead. Like, you know, it's just... They give up 52 points in the third quarter. I mean, 18 of 21.
In the end, are we really talking about what somebody does after they make a three?
No. Yes, they are. Because, and this is one of Chris's points, no one actually cares about basketball.
No, that's the biggest problem that I have with the NBA is that we never talk about the games.
No. Very rarely. In the NFL, it's a mix, right? In the NFL, it's a mixture of those things. But a lot of times in the NFL, we're talking about the games.
Or players.
About the decision
or
to run,
players,
the decision
like,
to
players,
throw.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a dreadful night for the Grizzlies last night because of the third quarter.
Yes.
not because of a stupid celebration. It's just, I don't, whatever. To say that it hasn't been a big issue in the past would be a lie. It has.
Right.
To say that isn't a massive concern going forward. I think it's the biggest concern. Ja's future. Continuing to get the best out of Ja. Who's going to coach Ja? What's his availability? Is the biggest thing. But this isn't the biggest thing.
No. This is like one of those ones where I have felt like the last 3 weeks, this is like the peak of NBA stupidity.
Ugh.
Like, what are we talking
about? And then they're giggling about it. It's just like, no, they didn't. That is not what blew up the Grizzlies' season. No. His return, has blown up the Grizzlies' the season is a bunch of stuff. Injuries have contributed to the lately blowing up of the season. You know what I want to do here real quick? Let's, phone number's 445-0929, 445-0929. This is maybe. Let's. This is something else you can do on Sports Talk Radio. Let's point fingers, Jeffrey. Let's have some finger points.
Now we're cooking,
right? Who are you pointing fingers at today? You can still, if you want to go old school and blame Taylor for something, that's okay. If you want to blame Zach Kleiman, if you want to blame injuries, if you want to jump on this and blame Ja, and who knows? Maybe they win tonight, and we won't need to do any more finger pointing. But right now, what is responsible for the Grizzlies? Plunge for the downward spiral. Let's do some old fashioned, like, this is at least it's grounded in reality. And I think it is a combination of injury and then just totally missing on your chances to fortify this roster. The Marcus Smart thing, not pulling the trigger, the trade deadline, you know, not finding guys. You've had those three players for a long time now. And what have you put around them, right? So let's do a little old-fashioned, this will be fun, a little old-fashioned finger pointing. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we start with Wes in North Memphis. Wes, you're on.
Wes, how are you?
OG, what's up? How you doing, man?
Good. You?
I'm doing well, you know. Living without a sky, you know, it's kind of tough.
I know. You were the one. You were our optimist. You were one of the last remaining optimists, and I take it you are no longer an optimist. You've come over to the dark side.
Yeah, those days are long, long, long gone. We're picking up the pieces around here. I have to point my finger at Zach Kleiman. He has done a phenomenal job when it comes to doing the ancillary things, you know, on the fringes. But when it's time to hit the home run, he strikes out every time. And eventually we have to start asking, why is that so? You know, like every time where it seems like it should be a slam dunk, it hits off the back of the rim and then goes into the third stands, you know what I mean? Like, for it's just the pieces are not coming together like how they should, and it opens up the national media to do all this stupid talk. I actually hate unsportsmanlike, yes. Whatever. I hate Chris Candy, man. His opinion sometimes just kill me when it comes to the Grizzlies. So I have to blame. One of the interesting things is
listening to people when they talk about things that you know well. It's like, whoa, that's way off. And then you start to wonder if when they're talking about other things, they are as off. I'm just not as aware of it because I don't know it as well, right?
It's the John Oliver conundrum. You hear John Oliver talk about a subject that you don't know about, and you're like, this guy's brilliant. But then when you hear him talk about something you do know about, you're like, wait a minute.
I can't weigh in on John Oliver. He still strikes me as brilliant, but whatever. I appreciate it. Wes, thank you very much. Phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. Just a little old-fashioned fun. It's fun occasionally to point fingers. And I'll say this about Zach Kleiman. He does point fingers at himself. Like, he never shirks responsibility. You could argue that firing the coach is, quote-unquote, shirking responsibility. But what he comes out, he says, I take responsibility for all of it. He says that over and over and over again. Who's next?
Jeff, we go to David in Kyrville. David, you're on.
Hey, David.
Hey, man, I just think that Ja is not a winner. I mean, there's too many signs pointing to that. I think you can win with Triple J. I think you can win with Bane. But, man, he just brings too much drama and stupidity.
He does bring a lot of drama. He does bring a lot of drama. I cannot debate that. So, all right. Thank you. So now we got some finger pointing at Zach and at Ja. 445-0929. Who's next?
Jeff, we go to Tony in Columbus, Ohio. Tony, you are on.
Hey, Tony, nice up there in Columbus. Are you a Memphian originally, or why are you calling us from Columbus?
Yeah, I'm here visiting my son. I always call you.
Oh, that's you. Okay. That's you. Yeah, I didn't recognize the Columbus part of it. Yeah, okay. How are you?
Yeah, I'm just here visiting the beautiful city of Columbus.
Yeah.
But I got to say, man, the two last callers, that's ridiculous. First of all, that's ridiculous, man. Uh-huh. All you've been doing is winning with Ja Morant. You know, it's something my son said last night. He said that whoever is running the Grizzlies, they didn't make a move during the trade deadline. And if you look at the numbers, they bear it out. We didn't make a move other than getting rid of Marcus Smart, who is somebody they should have never moved on in the first place. Behind the world, all we've been doing is placing around second place. We've been in the playoffs with Ja. It's moves that need to be made that other teams been doing that we haven't been keeping up with the Joneses at the end of the day. So to blame Ja, and I think you could clearly see that if he wasn't the best player on the floor,
he was the second best. He is an unbelievable player. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me say this before I go. The last thing is that the media, all they doing is looking for clickbait. You mean to tell me a guy that's bringing excitement to the game, that at first you guys were calling the face of the NBA, and because he had a gun, which is legal in America, people praise guns around here, I guess, until you become a basketball player and become wealthy. All of a sudden now it's a problem for one guy when everybody else is doing the same ethics.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. It is funny. Like, we look at this and you think, does not a winning player. Like, look what they just did to Charlotte. Like, the Grizzlies are still a good basketball team with some phenomenal players. And so, yes, they are winners. They're just not winners at the level that we would like. And I think his point is exactly right. Around those three core players, what is there?
Yeah, my biggest fear is that the injuries are going to kind of give cover to... It's still a flawed roster.
You shouldn't. The injuries are partly a problem because you have nothing else. You shouldn't only have two guys who can guard in addition to Jaren, right? Like, you shouldn't.
Two.
What? No, the two guys who can guard who are injured. Jalen Wells and Brandon Clark.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They can both guard, and Jaren can guard. Any 4450929. So Tony was pointing fingers at the guy who was pointing fingers.
Yes, I like that.
I love some good old-fashioned finger pointing. 4450929, who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Tim in Memphis. Tim, you're on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
Listen, I grew up with the NBA in the 70s and 80s, and what's hurting the Grizzlies now is the culture of the NBA. And the culture I'm talking about is if your knee is sore, you don't play. If your shoulder is sore, you don't play. If you are sore anywhere, you don't play. And that culture hurts the Grizzlies because they're not deep. They're not deep enough to withstand star players staying out all the time, which they do.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. I mean, I like, everyone has that same culture now. And are the Grizzlies less deep? You know, the when LeBron was missing for the Lakers.
To be clear, the Knicks don't have that culture.
the Knicks don't. The Knicks are a throwback,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
the Knicks are a throwback.
And they are routing next? Into
All right, so now
and
the
four.
Finger is pointed at the culture. At load management. 4450929. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Nick in downtown. Nick, you're on.
Nick.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Hey, good. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I think it's kind of been this from the jump, but it's just been a season of inconsistency. I mean, organizationally, I guess, you know, it's just been kind of like, you know, we'll throw stuff on the wall and see what sticks. And I mean, it's one of the most frustrating things as a fan, because, you know, you want whatever they do to work and you want to trust them and everything,
right.
But at the same time, I mean, you need some kind of, like,
it was a weird season, that whole starting, you know, stuff, the rotations,
well,
and the minute limitation. You're right. It was weird from the beginning. Now, of course,
they tried to do, like, point guard by committee, which I'm not a fan of. I like having one point guard. I mean, maybe you know.
I'm so sick of watching Dez try to play point guard. Like, it's not fair to him.
Oh my God,
just,
yes.
I can't stand it.
Well, it's fine until he has, like, four or five turnovers, and it's the same with Luke. I mean, Luke at times has looked like a really good playmaker, just like, you know, Dez and everything, but then there's those other times where they get, like, a defender on them, and they just, like, lock them up, and there's nothing they can do. I mean, it's
we didn't even talk, though. He's been benched.
He's been benched. Luke has been benched. Well, there's another guy that they got out to help fortify the lineup, and he, in a massive game last night, doesn't
he's unplayable.
Play. Unplayable. Thank you. Appreciate it. 4450929, 4450929. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Parker in Memphis. Parker, you're on.
Parker.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
First of all, I love y'all's show, but I don't want y'all to think I'm against you guys or anything. But you guys, I'm from New Jersey. I've been here 30 years.
Uh-huh.
You guys blow smoke up the people of Memphis. But every year about the University of Memphis basketball, football, and the Grizzlies. And you know good and well that the Grizzlies by far are only about the fifth, sixth, or seventh best team in the league. But all year long, y'all kept saying, oh, they can make it to the conference finals, or they can make it to the championship. They are not that good.
I will grant you, they are certainly right now, they are not that good. And I appreciate
that.
One of the nice thing is I'm rarely accused of being too positive. People say, why are y'all so negative? Particularly when I was writing columns. So I think I kind of, I tell you all the time, Jeffrey, I walk on the sunny side of the street. So when they're second in the West, you're hopeful that it's real, but it very clearly wasn't.
I don't know. I guess I can't win because the whole time that they were also second in the West,
you were looking.
Are they really good? Now, on the flip side, it's like I did not think they would collapse like this.
Funny though, Tony. Is Tony still there?
No, he's
okay. Tony's gone. It is funny. This is true. That when I moved to Memphis from Miami, I'm like, I got to be a tough guy columnist, you know. And literally, one of the first columns I wrote was ripping Fred Smith. And
that is coming out of the gate strong.
He held a lease to the Liberty Bowl that whatever, and the Mad Dogs or now was who was it? Who had, at that point?
So the Mad Dogs was the CFL.
No, but yeah. Whoever he had had in before 96, he still had the lease even though the team was gone.
So the
and
Showboats?
I ripped him for not giving the lease back to the city or something. I just ripped him, and it was a moronic column, but I was trying to be a tough guy, and then I realized that Memphis doesn't need a tough guy. Like, you do need someone to hold people's feet to the fire when that's needed, but the truth of the matter is Memphis is so hard on itself that it needs more lifting up than tearing down, and so. That has been something I have learned over the. But then here comes this New Jersey mentality, and I totally get it, because that's what New Jersey. That's what you're doing. You're ripping every. You wake up every day and you rip somebody, right? That's what they do. And so I totally get it, and I understand where he's coming from. We're pointing fingers today. 445-0929. Who's next?
All right, Jeff. Let's take these last three, and then we need to take a break. So let's go to Ian in Arlington. Ian, you're on.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, what's up, guys? As always, thanks. I'm just going to kind of reiterate what everyone has said because I agree with everything. I think that the spotty injuries have kind of exposed not a deep lineup.
Yep, I think that's exactly right.
And I'm actually a Thunder fan, but since I live in the Metro, I also pay attention to the Grizzlies. You know, because I want them to be good for the city.
What's it like to be a Thunder fan these days? It must be nice. That must be nice, man. And you'll probably be able to get a cheap ticket if they play them in the first round. You know, you'll probably be able to pick them.
Well, they fortified their roster to handle injury issues. We basically have two starting lineups. You know, so. We can handle that. The Grizzlies can't handle that.
Right. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's tough to hear on a day like today. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Robert in East Memphis. Robert, you're on.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Jeff. How y'all doing, man?
We're good.
The situation with Memphis is if you take Ja off the floor from last night, we have no chance. The first half, we get killed. And the defense has been most of the problem to me all year. They can't guard the three-point line. That was on the Taylor Jenkins before this guy now has control. And the pick and roll, Zach Eadie was a phenomenal offensive player in college. They don't use him on offense at all with this team. So when you look at what's wrong with the Grizzlies, it's not John Morant. If the rest of the team played as hard as he did last night, they would have crushed their team. No kind of way would they hung in there with
him. I agree. Thanks very much. It's why I
had to stop getting in foul trouble the way he do.
Yep.
All year long, he's playing right now like he did when he first came to the team.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's why I objected so much to the focus on the celebration last night. Like, whatever the problem was last night.
It was not him.
It was not John. Who's next?
Jeff, we wrap up with Douglas in Midtown. Douglas, you're on.
Hey, Douglas.
Hello, guys. Hello, hello. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show. And I'm going to say an unpopular opinion real quick, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it. To me, the problem is the front office and Jared Jackson Jr. You're talking about a guy that is way too young, has been playing with us way too long to get in foul trouble like he does. This is a front office problem. We can get him off in the trade deadline and get this team more support around Ja and Bain. To me, it's just inexcusable, and I don't know if it's going to take a good coach, but you can't keep fouling like you do as good as he is. That's all I got.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I agree with the fouling point. It's and I would say Jaron probably agrees with the fouling point. I do not agree with the solution to any of this team's problems is to offload Jaron because – he does so much. And for a team that is, I think, woeful defensively now, you've got a superb defensive player, one of the few. And so, no, I hope he stops fouling. All right, we got to take a break. Jason Smith joins us next. Then Chris Harrington, who wrote about this for the Daily Memphian. We'll do all that in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason is on every single day from 11 till 2. Jason, we engaged in some old-fashioned finger-pointing in our first segment. So I ask you, where do you point your fingers at the Grizzlies' predicament?
There's one place you pointed at this point, Jeff. It's at Zach Kleiman. One of your callers had it right. I mean, you can't blame the coach at this point. You can say Taylor Jenkins got you here, but you've got problems that obviously go way beyond Taylor Jenkins. We've discussed it all year long. You got roster issue. And, you know, frankly, that's been made worse at the trade deadline with some decisions to depend again on young. Youth has been served. You know, that's what they've decided to do again. And in this case, it's not just the roster. It's not just now a young interim coach trying to, you know, make something out of this and maybe prove himself for next year. But your young general manager, you know, at the deadline when you're, what, 35 and 16, was it? You got a choice right there, right? Can you make a move and do you spend and maybe you do. You spend a piece that you feel like is valuable in G.G. Jackson. You put something with it and make a real move to sort of solidify yourself, like maybe, you know, as a top four seed, like some of the other teams in the league did. Or do you think you're just okay with the young guys you've got? Now, Zach came out year four and said he made a mistake doing that. Essentially, you've done it again. And in this case, I think, again, unless Isolo goes on next year to really work well, you've set up two coaches to fail in terms of Zach here. Jenkins, in terms of the way that you went about dismantling his staff and putting in a new one that, yeah, sure, maybe, okay, well, it should have worked. But you have to see that you sort of, yeah, I mean, if you're talking about setting up a movie plot and you're bringing in a guy like Isolo, who's already turned down the Washington Wizards head coaching job, how do you think Taylor Jenkins looks at it? Why did he team up with Noah LaRoche and, you know, say, no, I'm going to do it my way? Probably because he wasn't, you know, he either felt threatened or, you know, when it came to Isolo. But my point is Zach set that up, and it was a bad setup. In it, you've lost your team. You've lost your defensive identity. And now we're all trying to figure out, you know, is Zach going to really double down on this with Isolo? Because it sure seemed like at some point, you know, whether it was later on down the road or you know, at some point this season, he always envisioned Toulmos as a head coach. Are you going to double down on it? We go into next year like this? Or are you going to decide, you know what, I've set up a bad deal here. Isolo is probably still going to have an incredible reputation because, of course, I'm talking about if you decided to go ahead and move on, cut ties. I got to go a different direction because I got to find culture. We've lost our culture. Isolo, yeah, you're biting the bullet in terms of what you paid him to bring over market value, but he's still going to have a great reputation all over. You haven't ruined it for him because no one thought it was you were giving him a fair shot with 9 games left. And so all eyes, fingers, you know, lamps, everything, all lights are on Zach Kleiman at this point because you had something good at the trade deadline. It is now 12-17 since, and it's broken in all ways. So, you know, tell me who you pointed at.
It strikes me that
pretty simple.
Probably what happened at the trade deadline is, first, they probably tried to do some things. You know, we'd heard they tried for Kevin Durant. They heard whatever. But, you know, you don't give someone credit for trying for what I've shown with the baby.
How about DeAndre Hunter? It doesn't have to be Kevin Durant or Jimmy
whatever,
Butler.
Right, no, yeah. But in the end, I think they decided we're not good enough this year. Like, Cleveland decided they are good enough this year. I think what's pretty clear is they decided we're not good enough this year. But my big objection, honestly, I think it's less about coaching than it is about once upon a time, this team around the three young stars had Dylan Brooks, Tyus, Kyle, Steven Adams, and DeAnthony Melton. And you've replaced them with youth, with guys like Scottie Pippen's an admirable player and story, but like you've got Santi and you've got Scottie and you've got Edie and you've got, you know, like you got a lot of youth and then you got the Jay Huffs and it's just, where are they? There was a whole middle class of player, Dylan, Tyus, Kyle, Melton, and Adams who helped fortify this team. And what happened to me is that if you look at the efforts, it's the failure of Roddy, Zaire, Marcus Smart, Laravia, Luke now, right? It's those guys who were brought in to they're gonna be the next wave.
Who brought
to
him in?
No, him. It's exactly
it
that to me.
To
I agree, and that's what I'm saying. I think it's mostly about the roster, honestly. I don't think whoever's coaching this, you could put Pop or whoever you want in charge of the last night's roster. And I'm not picking them to beat the Timberwolves, you know. And so I think that to me that's it. And so I do agree ultimately. And in fairness, Zach has said this. It is all up to him. But I think you're exactly right. I think it's
odd is that he seemed last. You know, was it last year? Was it two off seasons ago? He was saying we tripled on youth, and it was the wrong move or whatever it was. And here we are, having done it again. And I realize, you know, you can look at Marcus Smart and say, well, that was never going to work out, just with what we saw with our own eyes on the court and have convinced ourselves that. But the point was, you brought him in here to be that veteran presence. Look what you spent to do
it.
Look what you had to spend to send him out of here, right? After, whether it was he was against the program Right. Well, it was never going to work. We just never were going to get on the court what we thought he was going to be. Or he was pushing back against a program that, let's be real. Let's be real. This program has this plan has no identity right now. Maybe Marcus Smart saw something in terms of being a malcontent or whatever else off the court. Again, he wasn't playing. But maybe he saw something that he thought, oh, this isn't up to snuff here. I mean, he had been in an organization that, yes, won a championship after he was gone, but it was a championship organization. And so my point is they suck with the guys, well, even Taylor, who was obviously pushing back in the end and not playing Zach Edey. And, you know, it felt like it was him talking to The Athletic, that he's trying to run more pick and roll there at the end. You know, clearly, and not doing it early in the season, you're one of the teams running it the fewest amount of pick and rolls. What are you, Taylor? This is what you've done. You know, this is what Ja needs. And so there was pushback there, and he's pushed out all the pushback. He's pushed back veterans that might have said, "Nah, I don't think this is right." And you've doubled down on your way with young guys that don't know any better, right? Oh, well, this must be the way. And again, look at what you've done. You've dropped from, I mean, that one caller might be right that this was all a mirage, but they were sitting in the two spot, Jeff. They were the number 14 in net rating.
It was not all a mirage. Good defense.
Yeah. It wasn't. The injuries have hurt them, not having Jalen Wells and Brandon Clark. My God, you couldn't get a stop last night in a 52-point quarter. All that's true. But it all goes back to the roster decisions, man. Ultimately, and you can't blame this all on Taylor Jenkins. I think even when we saw Taylor struggling, we said still there are larger concerns here with the roster, and particularly the moves you didn't make or that you had to make at the deadline in terms of shipping out, you know, some of these veteran players that, again, to your point, you've pushed those guys on and said we're going to stick with what we've drafted and everything else, and it has not worked. At a time, Jeff, it needs to. To your point, if he said, okay, you know what, Trey, we're not good enough, that's not okay this year. You don't get to keep kicking the can down the road and saying one of these days, right, will be that you were ahead of schedule at one point. You are no longer ahead of schedule. Houston's passing you. Minnesota, that you thought you had handled earlier this season, just clubbed you. I mean, and now you've got a new head coach trying to figure out if he's the guy. I mean, an interim head coach trying to figure out if he's the guy. And so not being good enough at trade deadline is not okay. Again, all fingers should be pointed at Zach Klarman.
One last thing, Jason. I heard you and John talking about, you know, the situation with resources at the University of Memphis.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
And what's the difficult thing about this is we don't really know what they're doing, right?
Right.
So, but in the end, and it reminded me, and I said this to Gabe, remember when the state had this pot of money and it was either going to go to the Liberty Bowl or go to a FedEx Forum? And what did that do? There's a certain amount of money, and there's two entities that we believe in both of them, but right. Because there's a limited amount of money, they end up in a fist fight, right? They end up in a fist fight. It feels like the same thing could happen. There's a certain amount of money at NIL and revenue sharing at the University of Memphis, and there's a football program, and there's a basketball program, and there's inevitably, therefore, going to be a fist fight. I heard John is very clear. He thinks the basketball program should, it feels like to me anyway, get priority because its ambitions, at least its national ambitions, are realistic, unlike football.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Football also, you can argue, should get priority because it drives conference realignment. I heard you point out they own their stadium now, so there's a financial upside there.
Obviously.
Do you have a clear sense of you think one prioritize should be over the other, or should Ed Scott's task be, I'm just going to do kind of the best I can by both of them and split the baby in the middle? How would you, if you were AD, how would you approach this?
You know, it's interesting, especially what you talk about in terms of probably maybe a fist fight between programs, because you would know this, Jeff, having covered it for as long as you have and sort of having seen where the programs have been and what they are now, both top 25 ranked. But remember, there was a resentment from football towards basketball. You guys get all the stuff. You guys have got the facilities. You guys get it all first. Remember that. That's what the football program has sort of felt up until, you know, I guess relatively recently, and maybe still some of that, because basketball has always been the face. But particularly in the Fuente Norvell years when you were, you know, getting on game day, you could say, I mean, when you had College Game Day coming here, you could say, man, you know, boy, we're here now. And are we still getting, you know, sort of that same treatment that basketball historically and deservedly had always gotten. And so my point on that, Jeff, is just to say, you know, if John's right and there is a shift towards football, and I don't know we got enough time for me to tell you whether I think it's right or it's wrong, but if he is right on that, then you would have it going the opposite way, right? Penny Hardaway's coming off of his best year, the opposite way than it has historically. The resentment would be from basketball, which has historically been the face, the front porch. You're going to put it in football? When Penny Hardaway's coming off his best year, you're telling me you're going to take away, you know, whatever measure from Penny Hardaway when he's coming off his best year? He's, you know, you feel the best you ever have about him probably as a coach. Yeah, he left too much on the table losing to Colorado State, but still, that's basketball is what you've done here. It's always been your face. And so I can understand, but would be, wow, would the tables have turned? If it's the right decision, I mean, that's we had a 30-minute conversation about it yesterday, I didn't convince John that if this is indeed the case, that going in the direction of football and focusing what you have there for the most part, giving them the edge, was the right thing to do. We probably weren't done. This is something they're going to have to, you would need all of the numbers. But I think, Jeff, in just the grand scheme of things, if you pull back, Penny just gave you his best year. There were 6,500 butts in seats, actual butts in seats. Second year in a row, it's dropped, right, in a building that you don't control. On the football side, right. And here's the other thing, like I talked about with Jeffrey, and the price it's going to cost you to compete nationally now, what is your return on investment there? That ceiling feels like it's been lowered. There's a bunch of factors. Folks don't watch college basketball. They don't go to the games the way they used to. Downtown, Memphis, all we could go all through them. Again, it's a 30-minute conversation. Point, though, is the ceiling feels lower, right? Football, on this other hand, for right now, what you got to do is compete with Boise State. Right, get that group of five spot. You're in the college football playoff, but more importantly, if this thing blows up in 2030, and I'm talking the power structure as it's currently sitting, if it blows up in 2030, as Dan Walken and others have predicted, because of the television contracts coming up, well, then it's basketball is not the thing that hasn't gotten you in. You know, that being the face, and so a shift there, not just to get the group of five playoff spot for however long you can, for however long it's there. But more importantly, to get ready for 2030, basketball's never gotten you in. Like I told Jeffrey, the Big East ain't picking up the phone, not seriously. And so would it not be, is the ceiling not higher in a building you now control, newly renovated at some point in a couple of years? Can you not see a higher ceiling on the football side? Can you not then justify?
Maybe it's not as good for the mid-majors and the lower programs, but it's like, I think stability is going to help everyone.
So I'm not, like, whatever. I sort of object to it because it's the NCAA trying again to, like, wriggle out of something. They've been kicking and screaming all along, and now they're like, so I kind of resent it, but I do think it might help restore order to college sports. We're late to Chris Harrington. We got to take a break. Chris will come up next, and then we'll play Right and Then Right Trivia. We're giving away 4 tickets to tonight's Grizzlies game. They're upstairs, but it's a big-ass game. You'll want to be there. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments.
At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order is backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.